Amen. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can build our lives on a firm foundation when we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord, that we can pray, Lord, fill me, guide me, show me your ways. We thank you for this wonderful day that we have together, and we thank you for the privilege of having worship together. We look forward to this day. We look forward to this time together. Build our lives upon your truth and upon the Word of God, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Would you say thank you to our folks again for sharing with us? Well, good morning. Good morning, I'm Pastor Mike. If you're here with us, we're honored to have you. If you're a guest, welcome. Come by and say hello on your way out. We'd love to have the opportunity to meet you. If you have your Bible, find your place in Romans chapter 10. We continue these days to talk about this very important truth from God's Word. Saved, saved, saved. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to have eternal life? All of these things are very important for all of us here today. For I remind you today again that you have only so many days to live, and then will you be prepared to die? And then will you be prepared for what happens after you die? You see, being saved is the most important responsibility of every human being on the earth. It is the most important responsibility of every person. You must choose to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, or choose not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and sadly to experience what we talked about last week, those very hard words but truthful words. The Lord reminds us, whoever does not believe perishes. Eternal hell faces those who will not believe and be saved. Eternal life in heaven is promised and given to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So all of us here today must choose what we will do about those things that will happen to us after we die. Now, in Romans chapter 10, we come to some very familiar verses, words that you hear me say a lot of times during our invitation time. But I want us to look at these words today in detail because they help us understand this very important next truth we want to look at today about being saved. So I'd like for you to stand now in honor of the reading of God's Word, and we're going to read Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, I will begin reading. I have on the screen for you verses 9 and 10, but I'm going to begin. If you have your copy of God's Word, please open it and follow along with me. Romans chapter 10, verse number 6. Paul says, but the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. This is what faith says. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven to bring Christ down, who will descend into the abyss to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? What is the word of faith? What is it? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That, here it is, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would protect us from distractions. Oh, may our minds be focused on these wonderful, important words, words that give us life and give us salvation. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the reading of your word now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So today the question that we are going to answer is this: how can we be saved? How can we be saved? Each week we use a question to form and frame our thinking around the verses that we'll be looking at. Today's question is, how can we be saved? And the answer is this truth that we've just read in Romans 10. We are saved when we confess and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, risen from the dead. We are saved when we confess and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, risen from the dead. So this matter of how we can be saved is very important. It happens all the time. It's happened all of my ministry life. It happens to our pastors all the time. many of our Sunday school teachers, someone will come to them. It's a parent of a child, a parent of a teenager or a teenager student. Some adult will come and say to us, well, I need to be baptized. So you need to be baptized. Why do you need to be baptized is the question. So that I might be saved. No. No, we learned today that baptism does not save you. So all of the boys and girls here, everyone here, students here, adults here, no, baptism is not the way you are saved. Though you may have friends and neighbors who urgently push you to hurry and baptize, baptism is not how you're saved. We are not saved by being baptized. Someone says, well, I had a feeling and I had an emotion one time in a service and I prayed. Prayer itself does not save you. The Lord Jesus Christ saves us. It is important for someone says, well, I took the Lord's Supper and I go to church and I'm a moral person. None of these things save us. And there is such great error about this in our world today. And my friend, I'm doing my best as your pastor to say this to you. Look, unless you die, you must be ready to live and you must be ready to die. We've been reminded in these days that an accidental, horrible crash can take lives. It happens every day. Millions upon millions of people die every day, some accidentally in accidents and crashes. Others die as life goes away because of death and disease. My prayer is that everyone who ever hears the preaching that comes from this place will understand and know whether or not they are saved and born again. That's our goal and that's my passion today. So I say to you today what I said to you last week. Will you please be saved? Will you please be saved? Whatever else you do in your life, please be saved. Be saved from the wrath of God. Be saved from your sin. Be saved and come to experience the joy of a permanent relationship of favor and grace and love with God. How can we be saved? We are saved, boys and girls, students and adults. We are saved. We are saved when we confess and believe in our heart. When we confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, risen from the dead. Now, a couple of observations about these verses. Notice in verse number 9, you have, first of all, a condition. If you confess and if you believe in your heart. You see that there in your Bible? If you must determine to do this, this is your personal responsibility, but you have to decide. Lots of people walk away. They hear about Jesus Christ as Savior. They hear all of the facts about it. They hear all the information. They walk away. They're like the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. Well, I've done all of these things. What do I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord said, give away everything you have. That's the thing that's blocking you. And sadly, that young man, the Lord loved him, but he walked away from Jesus. Lots of people walk away from Jesus. They take the broad way, the narrow gate. Oh, it's hard. It's difficult. You have to lay everything down to believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. You see, this is important. It's a condition. But it's also not only conditional, it's personal. I'm talking to you personally today. I'm not talking to you, though I'm speaking to everyone. You must personally, I can't pray and confess the Lord Jesus and believe for you, nor can your parents, nor can your family or your friends. This is a personal matter. This is a personal matter of being saved from our sin and being saved from eternal judgment and death. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So with these things, I have three observations I want us to look at from these verses today. And I'll seek to be brief, but I want to elaborate enough for you to understand what I'm saying. And I say to you today, my friend, look, my religious friends, please be saved. Your religion will not save you. Your family will not save you. Your money will not save you. Your pride will not save you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. So how can I be saved? I am saved when I confess Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. Now, first of all, we have an interesting thing here. Now, I want to elaborate on this for a minute. It's a play on words. You have to be very careful to catch it, or you'll run over this. The problem with preaching familiar verses is most of us have got it and said, okay, I got that, check. So I'm going to elaborate. I'm going to slow you down, which will aggravate some of you, and you'll be ready to get on with it, but just let me, I'm going to draw this out. Because there is actually a play on words here. Paul begins to talk about this whole matter of word of faith. See, that's a strange thing. It's faith, but it's words. It's words, but it's faith. Now, listen to me. The saved, number one observation is this. The saved, those who are saved, make the good confession of faith. They say their faith, and their faith is said. Jesus is Lord, risen from the dead is what we say, but that's what we believe. Now, why is this important? Notice again what your Bible says in verse number, I read it to you. In verse number 8, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. This is what Moses was saying to the children of Israel when he was saying to them, choose either life or death. You must make a decision by faith. You see, there's a play on words here. It is, I'm preaching to you, you must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. It is the word of faith. It is faith and words, words and faith. They go together. And only the saved, listen, what they say with their mouth and what they believe in their heart are the same. You see, all through the Word of God, we have examples of people who did not have their, they were not saved. Their words and their heart weren't the same. They weren't in the same place. How many times did the Lord talk about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees? And you know what he quoted over and over from Isaiah? These people honor me with their lips. Oh, praise you, Jesus, praise you. But their hearts are far away from me. Oh, I come to church and I praise Jesus, hallelujah, I'm praising, but my heart is nowhere around the church house. My heart's on something else. My heart's on my money. My heart's infatuated with that person. My heart's focused on those lusts and those desires, worldly things. Lord, I love you, but my heart's not there. My heart's not where my mouth is. Hypocrisy. Oh, I love Jesus, but in their heart there is hidden hatred and unforgiveness. No, you see, the saved, their heart and their words go together. The other side of it is those who believe something about Jesus and love what Jesus gives them. Over in John chapter 2, the Lord Jesus was doing miracles. And it says in John chapter 2, verse 23 and following, it says that many believed in Jesus because of the signs he did. Oh, what's Jesus going to do for me? Lots of people have an idea that being saved is Jesus just does a bunch of things for you. That's what it is. I'm saved so Jesus will do all of these things for me. That's what it means to be saved. One is I'm saying it all with my mouth and singing songs, hallelujah, but I hate everybody. Hallelujah, Jesus, I love you, but I hate everybody else. Heart far from him. Others saying, well, in my heart, I want what Jesus has, but no confession with the mouth is made. You see, my friend, this is very important for you to understand. The word of faith, see, it's a play on words. It is the idea, we use different words to describe. Confession means saying the same thing. Remember, I say this to you all the time, remind you. We read from an English Bible. These words come from the Greek language. Translated for us, we use the word confession. The word, the original word means to say the same thing. We confess. In a moment, I'll talk about that. Right now, I'm talking about the agreement of your mouth and your heart. You see, when we think about this, the Lord tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, a mouth speaks. And I've said to this church all of my ministry, I can teach you how to read minds. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for me to teach you how to read minds? You've always wanted to read the minds of your parents, students. This is the way you're going to do it. This is how you read minds. Listen to what people talk about. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what the Lord Jesus taught us. You want to know what somebody's thinking about? Listen to what they talk about. Listen to what they're talking about. Somebody's been talking, all these people have been talking about some kind of game going on today. I have no idea. The Titans playing the Giants today? What's going on today? Some game going on. We got all this talk going on. Everything's absorbed with a ball game. And I'm standing here before you talking about death and life. I'm talking to you about death and life, about whether you're saved or lost. We're going to worry about the ball game, get some chili. We got to hurry up. Hurry up, Pastor Mike. It's already 11:09. We got stuff to do. It's a short day. We got a ball game. Well, I hope the Titans win. That's all I can tell you. I hope they win. I have no idea, nor do I care. I could care less if the Titans win today. Where are they playing? Florida or somewhere? The saved make the good confession of faith. Jesus is Lord, risen from the dead. My mouth and my heart are in sync. They go together. That's the only way I'll be saved. It's the only way I'll be saved. Second observation. Let's go now through this for a moment. First, he says, if you will confess, verse 9, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. He says, notice how Paul reverses this in Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And then he flips it in verse number 10. He says, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And then with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Let's talk about confession for a moment. Saying the same thing. You see, when I confess Jesus as Lord, I agree with what God the Father said. This is my beloved Son. He said it at his baptism. He said it at his transfiguration. This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son. We confess Jesus as Lord. We're confessing Jesus Christ, Son of God, as we've talked about, the image of the invisible God, creator of all things, head of the church, the one who has no ending, no beginning, who must have the place, first place in our lives, Colossians chapter 1. We spent days and days on this. Confessing him as Lord. You confess him as Lord. You agree with the Lord Jesus who stood before in that kangaroo court before Pilate, that Roman judge. And Pilate says, are you a king? And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was of this world, all my people would be in here and we'd take you down. The Lord, so Pilate says, well, are you a king? And Jesus says, you are right in saying that I am a king. He made the good confession. He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. I find it ironic. I'm going to take just a moment to give you a quick little glimpse into church history. Just for a moment, I won't be long, but this is important. I find this quite interesting that Paul writes these words that the mouth must confess Jesus is Lord when he was talking to the Roman church. You know, Rome had an issue. After Julius Caesar died, the politicians, and isn't it interesting what politicians do so that they can get more stuff? And now I don't want to get on that either today, these days. The politicians decided, oh, Julius Caesar, well, he was God. Now all this next bunch of those who follow after him, they're the sons of God. And so they put on their coins. You can go look all of this up. They put it on their coins. Caesar is Lord. And if you're going to be a Roman citizen, by the way, if you don't do this, you will die. That's the way Rome worked it out. If you don't confess Caesar is Lord, you die. It's a good way to keep the democracy going, isn't it? You either do what we say or you die. So Caesar is now Lord. I find it quite amazing that Paul would write these words and say, if you will confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. So we go back to 155 AD to an old preacher, 85 years old, named Polycarp. He was the disciple of John the Apostle. 85 years old. His only crime? He's been preaching the gospel most of his life, having believed on the Lord Jesus at a young age. And now this man, oh, here all the soldiers come to get him with all their spears and swords. How pitiful, how silly, how silly. These Romans come and gather up the preacher and take him before the governor. And you see, in the day in which he lived, the Roman Empire, you have a statue sitting there of the of the Caesar as Lord. Here's his statue, and here's a little bottle of, here's a little vial of incense, and you must take a pinch and you must sprinkle it in your hands and say, Caesar is Lord. Here they bring the 85-year-old preacher in and say, it's time for you, please, Polycarp. Just, it won't really hurt. It won't change things. It won't hurt your ministry. Just, the appeal was even from the, they loved Polycarp. Please just say, Caesar is Lord. Just sprinkle that. It won't be much. Your confession isn't that significant. It's just a matter, it's just something we must do as citizens. And he said, 85 years I have served him. How can I ever disobey him who is my king and my savior? He would not make the confession, Caesar is Lord. He made the good confession, Jesus is Lord. So what did they do? They took him out and they tortured an 85-year-old man and burned him to death. What happened in America if they finally said to you, you have to make some confession? The day could come, very well could come, where all the preachers get rounded up who preach like I'm preaching today. Just lock them all up. They're all haters. That's what the world would say. That's what the American government would say. Go get all of those haters. Go lock them all up. I've asked our police officers, are you willing to come arrest Pastor Mike? Jesus is Lord. We confess it with our mouth. Let me elaborate on confession for a moment. What does it mean? Confession of Jesus is a word of surrender. I confess. Somebody is Lord in your life today. Look, you don't sit in here with arrogance thinking that nobody's the boss. You may think you're your own Lord. You may allow somebody else to be your Lord. You may be dominated and controlled by your money and by your business interests and what you want to do in the future. You may be dominated and controlled by your possessions. The Lord of your life is possessions or play or recreation or whatever it may be. Everybody in this room, every person on the planet has a Lord. And when you confess, you are confessing that that is your Lord. It's an act of surrender. Confession of Jesus is a word of commitment. In Hebrews chapter 10:23, all through the book of Hebrews, it says, hold on to your confession. Friend, I'm telling you, hold on to your confession that Jesus is Lord. When you're sick, when you're healthy, when you're old, when you're young, hold on to your confession. Confession of Jesus is a word of allegiance. You know what the Lord said in Luke chapter 9, verse 26? You better listen. If you are ashamed of me in this world, I will be ashamed of you before my Father and the angels. Think about the fellow, a pastor friend of mine, he loved to get on airplanes, he'd read his Bible. That's just what he did. He wasn't ashamed. And I mean, he took his big giant Bible on there. He did it on purpose. I know what he was doing. He took that giant Bible. He didn't get his thin one or his little one. He didn't on his computer. He got a big Bible, walked in there with it. Well, this man had come to the church and he was going with the pastor on some event. They got on the airplane and the businessman said to the pastor, you gonna read that Bible on the airplane? The pastor said, yeah, I'm going to read this Bible. I always read the Bible on the airplane. So the businessman asked the stewardess, hey, can you get me another seat? I don't really know if I want to sit by him with that big giant Bible. Why are you ashamed of Jesus? Are you afraid to tell the people at your job you're a follower of Jesus? Are you afraid to tell them at school you're a follower of Jesus? Are you afraid to tell your neighbors you're a follower? Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. This is something you do publicly. You confess not only to the Lord, save me, forgive me of my sins, but you confess allegiance. I confess Jesus is Lord. I confess him in surrender. I confess him in commitment, in allegiance. I confess him with confidence. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy. Over there in 1 Timothy, when he talked to him about making the good confession, he said, you made the good confession in the presence of witnesses. When you confess Jesus, you're not ashamed of it. You have no shame in confessing Jesus, but some have shame. Why are you ashamed to stand up for Jesus? This is the problem of the modern church. This is our problem. We don't want to talk. We want to say nice things, but we just, if you say the Lord Jesus' name, somebody might get offended. Really? What did Paul say in 2 Timothy 1:2? Here's confession. I am not ashamed. I'll just quote the verse to you. 2 Timothy 1:12. I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him against that day. Now that's being shameless in your confession of Jesus Christ. I ask you today, have you confessed Jesus as Lord of your life? Have you confessed him? You see, Paul tells us here, it's very important for you to read God's word. With the mouth, confession results in salvation. When my heart is believing and my mouth is confessing, I'm saved. That shows that there's true purity in my life. The last thing I must say quickly is this. Whoever believes in the Lord, whoever believes in their heart that Jesus is risen from the dead is saved. First, I'm saved as I confess with my mouth. I confess what I, on the inside, I believe. Now let's talk about what you believe on the inside. So much information about the word believed. But Paul uses an interesting phrase here, my dear friends. He could have said it like this. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your mind, God raised him from the dead. But he doesn't say that. Some of us have placed belief as something in the mind, but it actually is something from the heart. Now, what does that mean? I've given you the little phrase on the screen if you're looking there. Saving faith is heart faith. So let's talk for a moment about what is saving faith. What is saving faith? Now to do that, I want you to look at this verse I've given you here in 1 Peter 1:8. You should do some meditating on 1 Peter 1:8. It's a great verse because it shows us the warmth of saving faith. You see, friend, if you're here today and this is like going to school, I have all kinds, my stomach just hurts when I think about saying school right now, just that, all that. It's not about school. Just about learning facts. Just about having in our minds some things we know about God and the Bible and the Lord Jesus and how it all goes together. See, some of us like engineers spiritually here. We're trying to put A to B to C to D. We just want to have it in our minds. Oh, this has nothing to do with your mind. Your mind, listen, your mind follows your heart. You know how I know that? When I was a boy at 9, I knew in my mind a lot less than I know about God's word today at 60 or whatever I am. I started with my heart. I believed by faith. I had heart faith. I trusted. I trusted in someone I couldn't see. I trusted in someone I couldn't touch. I trusted in someone and I loved him. And then joy came. Look at this. This is too good. And though you have not seen him, in fact, I must mention to you, before this, Peter says, he's talking about the proof of your faith in verse number 7. That the proof of your faith being more precious than gold will result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus comes again. Here's the proof of your faith. And then he breaks right into the sentence. He doesn't break it up. And though, here's the proof that you're saved. This is saving faith is what Peter's saying. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, trust, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. That's much more than your mind. That's your heart. Saving faith is trusting faith. Saving faith is loving faith. Saving faith is joyous faith. Saving faith trusts in the resurrection of Jesus. Because I believe Jesus Christ is alive today and is Lord, my heart goes to him in love. My heart goes to him in trust. That's why whenever the bottom falls out in your life, when you have saving faith, you trust God. You trust him when you're young. You trust him when you're old. You have saving faith. You believe with your heart, my friend. This is saving faith. It's warm. There is a love for God. Someone says, well, I prayed and asked Jesus into my life. Of course, then I went on to live my life as I wanted to. What is that? You see, when you come to have saving faith, you commit to live by faith in the Son of God the rest of your life. You live all the days of your life being saved. He saves you in your early days. He saves you in your middle days and your latter days if you live that long. He saves you through all the conditions of life. He saves you from your sin and gives you a new outlook on life. He transforms the insides of you, and that should draw out of you and me warm, affectionate faith in Jesus. Not just some facts to say, well, I know that Jesus did this. I have a check them off. They're all facts. Facts don't move you. Faith warms the heart. Faith is an affection toward God. I trust Jesus with my life. That's what it's saying, because he is alive and Jesus is Lord. I can't do it any better than that. I'm about to run out of energy. That's what it means to be saved, my friend. It's not in some act that you do. Oh, how we must pound away at this. It's just like taking a sledgehammer, trying to break up this false error that exists all around us, that you can do something religiously and be saved, my friend. If you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved, because Jesus is Lord and he is risen from the dead. So what do I have for you as we leave? First of all, I'm just going to ask you again. Have you confessed Jesus as Lord? I'm not talking about your neighbor. I'm not talking about your friend who's not here today. I'm not talking about your family that you're so concerned about. Are you not concerned about your own soul, my friend? We just are all worried about this ball game today. We've just got, boy, we can't wait for this day. I saw somebody coming in the door and said, well, did you hear what somebody said? Today's Super Sunday. Every day's Super Sunday. Jesus is alive. Yeah. Has nothing to do with who's putting on shoulder pads and a helmet. What in the world is that? Some of us have done that. And we feel a lot worse because we did it all the rest of the days of our life. Throwing a ball around. While people will die today, either saved or lost. That's what you think about. Oh, Pastor, I don't want to think about that. I just want to go home and eat some chili and watch the Titans beat the Giants in this game. Have you confessed Jesus as Lord? You willing to go to your job tomorrow and say, I am unashamed. I am a follower of Jesus. Fire me. Name call me, beat me, kill me. I am a follower of Jesus. Wake up, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand up on your feet and say, Jesus is Lord. That's what this world needs. Have you believed in your heart? Is there a warmth in your heart? Do you have saving faith? Do you have heart faith? Do you come and you say, every day you are amazed that the Lord would save you. You know what you're like. You know what you've done. You know what you've thought. You know what you've said. Oh, the warmth that comes from saving faith. This isn't an activity of your mind. If you believe in your heart, it warms you. That's what draws you to worship. Your heart is warmed, so you come in this place with God's people. Man, praise the Lord, we're celebrating because we're saved. Are you ashamed to confess Jesus before others? Well, I end by simply saying this. The saved make the good confession. Jesus is Lord, risen from the dead. Does anybody join me in that? Amen. Amen. Thank you.